Well, let's spend some time in God's Word. I know of no other greater thing to do together. We are going to go to Exodus chapter 1. Last week I went over some things about great things that God has done and how almighty He is and big He is and powerful. And we looked at the splendor of His creation, which of the heaven and earth, like a minuscule piece of it. I mean, it is so big. But what a great thing that God has done in putting together the heaven and the earth, of which we enjoy on a daily basis, and we are living on. And I thought it would be nice to look at some other things that God has done for us. Or for people, what he has done. And a great thing is the exodus of Israel out of the land of Egypt, of which many of you have looked at. And I just thought it would be nice to, again, see how big God caused a deliverance for those people. And before we start, we're not going to read the whole record. I'd like to, but we're not. We're just going to read parts of it. But the reason why Israel, the children of Israel, ended up in Egypt in the first place was, as you I'm sure remember, there was a famine on that region or on earth, and food was scarce. And so the children of Israel went down to Egypt to get some food. And the great thing about the whole scenario is that God had worked out a circumstance that one of the children of Israel, Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, was sold into slavery by his dear brothers. Instead of killing him, they thought, oh, we can make some money off of this guy. But God's hand was in the circumstances, and when he got to Egypt, he had some things happen to him. He ended up being second in command to the Pharaoh. And then God showed him what to do concerning a dream that Pharaoh had, which was God revealing what would happen for the next 14 years. And that the first 7 years would be a plenteous farming, and that the next 7 years it would be a drought that, you know, nothing was produced. And God showed Joseph what to do to have food. And the children of Israel benefited from that man walking with God. That in and of itself is a great record of what God has done. But afterwards, children of Israel stayed by invitation in Egypt, but things had changed. And we're going to pick up the record in verse 7. And it says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them." Sort of like grasshoppers, maybe, or cockroaches. Grasshoppers is better. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor." And rigor is cruelty. Type of thing. It's like really bad, you know, where they beat them. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." This is not a good scenario. "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shippar, and the name of the other, Pura. And he said, you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon their stools. If it be a son, then you shall kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now that's a horrible thing. How'd you like to be those two women? Okay, here's the king. He's saying, hey, when you see that woman on her stool, if it comes out a boy, you're to kill him. If it comes out a girl, she lives. What a horrible thing to do. But the midwives feared or respected God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, well, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. We get there and they're already done. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And when a man of the house of Levi took a wife of a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now this is Moses' parents, and this is Moses, the little fella, as a little fella. So she hid them because he was a goodly child. Goodly basically means pleasant to look at, agreeable. He's a nice looking kid. Now, just keep your finger here. I'm going to go to Hebrews for a second. There's a Hebrews 11. There's a verse that concerns this. And this is about believing, the operation of the manifestation of believing. Verse 23, but by believing, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The word proper there means good to look at. And in Acts 7:20, it's the same reference to it, and it says he was exceeding fair. And it's the same Greek word. You know, good to look at, goodly, pleasant, pleasing. So it's not that he just looked good, because to every mom, their baby looks good. I mean, what mom says, ah, he's an ugly guy. Every kid is a good-looking kid. But God showed the parents that in God's sight, that child was beautiful. God showed to those parents something beyond the fact that he just looks like a nice little fella with a cute little twinkle in his eye. And so, because of that, they hid him. But then when they couldn't hide him anymore, God showed them what else to do. Hid him 3 months, verse 3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And this is really quite incredible what happens. And his sister, Moses' older sister, stood afar off to wit that what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, she just happened to be there, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, no, because the Pharaoh said that if it's a boy child, it should be killed. Nope, the Pharaoh's own daughter is not listening to him. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Isn't that amazing?
What a relief from that moment.
Yeah, she gets paid to take care of her own child that God had showed this kid needs to stay alive. Look at what God, how God worked that one out. Verse 10, And the child grew, and she brought him unto the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, Because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren, unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them, to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat by a well. And he stayed there for 40 years. So in the meantime, for 40 years, the children of Israel had been continued to get pummeled by the Egyptians. So now we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 1. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That is an unusual sight. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I, or here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy stone, their shoes from off thy foot. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Phizurites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And you can just see them. Yeah, I remember. When I was there, they were really treated badly. And you know, he's probably happy to hear all this. God's going to do something bad. Till this next verse. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he hits them quite quickly with a little zoomy there. And Moses said unto God, What? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, This shall be that shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Physicites, and the all those people, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Now this is pretty wild, because Egypt is the most powerful nation in the world. And this is just a guy out in the wilderness, a shepherd. And he's 80 years old. And Moses answered and said, But, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in your hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not believe thee, and it shall come to pass, if they not will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or the deaf? Or the seeing or the blind, have I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him that whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. Now we're going to go to chapter 5. verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with his sword, the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works go unto you, go get you unto your burdens?" You know, go do your work. And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give people the people straw to make brick, as hitherto. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tale, or the number of bricks which they make hitherto, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" You know, they must have a lot of time on their hands. They're going to want to leave for a while. So we're going to get more work. "Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as hitherto? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou with us, thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, 'Make brick.' And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." But he said, "You are idle, you are idle. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord.' Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, and you shall deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, "You shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task." They knew they were really in trouble when they saw this. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the sight of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the servants, of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." So not real happy with what's going on. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? What is going on? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." So obviously Moses isn't really in full understanding what's going on. But he does in due time. Chapter 1, verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord," or "Then the Lord said unto Moses." Now,
chapter 6, verse 1.
"Then the Lord said unto Moses, 'Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his hand, out of his land. And God said, spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Not that what he was doing to them, but what was happening to them. They were hurting. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of this land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am of uncircumcised lips? Remember, I don't even have good lips here. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Chapter 7, verse 5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did so, or did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, which is 80, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. It's quite comical. So you got this 80-year-old guy and an 83-year-old guy. I don't know if they had any canes or not, but they're approaching Pharaoh and saying, hey, the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh, you know, he's obviously not heeding to this demand. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent, which is pretty wild. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men of the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. They took their rods and threw them on the ground, and they became serpents. And they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. This is quite a show here. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. So let's just forget about all this and go back home. No. Verse 15, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent thou shalt take in thy hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that we may serve in the wilderness, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe the drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the waters of the river. And it was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. You know, Pharaoh's like, no big deal. My guy could do that too. And so they did the same thing. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord hath said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. And we're not going to read them. 9 other plagues, and each plague was a judgment to Egypt. It meant something to the Egyptians. They had gods for all kinds of things. They had gods for blood, they had gods for flies, they had gods for locusts, and he judged every one of them. And what also was wild is that a number of them, like there was darkness, was the 9th one, where the children of Israel lived, nothing would ever hit them. It was always just Egypt stuff. And the believers were just having, you know, normal living life. These Egyptians that live close by must have been like, what the F is going on around here? Dark everywhere but right there. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 30. So the 10 plagues hit them. It finally knocked some sense into Pharaoh. The country was devastated. And we pick it up in verse 30. It says, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Get out of here. Also, take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. Bless me also. I don't know how he got that in there, but he did. Bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, who could it all die? And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians, and the children of Israel journeyed, and they went, and then they went forth. And then we're going to chapter 14, verse 5. So they head on out, and they're leaving after spoiling the Egyptians. And Pharaoh reconsiders what he just did. Chapter 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. That's God's high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside these two places. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh or close, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So Pharaoh brings his entire army out to chase them, and they're about to catch them. They cry out, verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. You know, we haven't seen enough of what God has done for us. Mm-hmm. So because there weren't enough graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness, or hast thou taken? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. There was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. And God put the cloud behind them and put the fire in front of them so they can see where they're going. Puts the cloud between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So the Egyptians couldn't see him because it was so dark from this cloud. But the children of Israel could see because they had this fire in front of them. So they're moving forward, going to go across that great sea. And Moses stretched out his hand on over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea land, or the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. This is funny. And he took off the chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained so much as one of them, or remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walketh upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Just all those guys. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And that's quite a record of what God has done for his people. The things that he did, just amazing. And then the next chapter is a song of Moses that, you know, they sang about God's greatness and what he had just done for them and accomplished for them. And then they move on. But what an incredible thing. It's the only record I know in the history of mankind that a large group of slaves were freed without any military help, no political help, no public action. Just God Almighty with his strong arm taking care of those people. Never been done since. It's an incredible act. And with a high hand. And that's the same God we worship, which is really quite wonderful. We have a great God. He is powerful, he is mighty, and he has done a lot of great things for his people, and he continues to do so. The show ain't over yet. There's more coming. So, it's going to be a day when we hear that trumpet sound. That's going to be quite a work of God. A lot more delivering than the Red Sea opening up. So, all God's people getting gathered.